Good morning to everyone. Appreciate the invitation again, and it's good to be before you. If you are visiting with us, we'll let you know that you are an honored guest. We appreciate your presence. And this is to everyone. If there's anything that is said that is amiss, I definitely, you'd be more than a friend to bring that to my attention. It is nothing but my intent to bring nothing but absolutely what's found in the Word of God, and hopefully it can be, you know, edifying and uplifting to us all. Both this lesson this morning and this evening are going to be centered around one subject, a pretty important subject in today's denominational climate, the subject of Bible authority. Bible authority. As you know, Bible authority is established in three different ways: direct command, approved, apostolic example, as well as necessary inference. For example, when we take a look at observation of the Lord's Supper that we just observed a little bit ago, we see that in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, Jesus said, "This do." So we see that's a direct command given to the disciples. We also see in Acts 20 and 7, we have an example of the disciples, including Paul, coming together to break bread, referring to the Lord's Supper. We also have in that same text the inference that it was done on a weekly observance. So we see the practice being done, and we see it inferred that this practice was done on an ordinary basis, every first day of the week. So this lesson, however, really only stresses on one of the three ways that we establish authority, and that is direct command. And today, I've got a different angle that we're going to take a actually look at it, both today and tonight, kind of probably from different ways that, at least from an introductory standpoint, that you probably haven't heard. But, and I appreciate all the kids in here, and I kind of gave a clue to one of the kids earlier today, but we're going to take a look at Bible authority as it relates to a childhood game. The game being Simon Says. So therefore, the title of the lesson is Simon Says Authority. Similarities and differences. Simon Says Authority. And I got this off the internet that tells us about the game. Simon Says is a game for three or more players, most often children. One of the people is it, i.e. Simon. The others must do what Simon tells them to do when asked with a phrase, or when asked with a phrase beginning with Simon Says. If Simon says jump, the players must jump. Players that do not jump are out. However, if Simon says simply jump without first saying Simon says, players do not jump. Those that do jump are out. It is Simon's task to try to get everyone out as quickly as possible, and it is everyone else's job to stay in for as long as possible. The last of Simon's followers to stay in wins, although the game is not always played out all the way through. So, there you have it. Simon Says. We're all familiar with it. Probably a good number of us in here hadn't played in a very, very long time. But we all understand the premise behind this game. So we're going to first take a look at several similarities between the rules of this game and some Bible truths that relate to this topic of authority and salvation. And then we're going to take a look at some differences between the rules of this game and things that relate to the topic of authority and salvation. The first point we're going to make about Simon Says is that, hey, we understand the similarity is that there's only one Simon, there's only one leader, one voice, or one source to listen to. Simon has complete authority and control. You know, you may recall in Matthew 3:17, once Jesus was baptized by John the Baptizer, okay, in Matthew 3, verse 17, after he was baptized, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens," speaking of baptism, by the way, we talked about baptism earlier today, baptism being an immersion. He came out of the water, right? How do you come out of something you don't go into? Sprinkling is nowhere, can't fit it in this verse anyway. But that's just a side note. But anyway, Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17 said, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Okay? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Walk for me with that phrase. However, latter part of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 17, we have the transfiguration. And we have a very similar phrase, but there's a different emphasis on the phrase at that point. This is when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain, and there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." And the response to that suggestion was, And the response to that suggestion, Matthew 17:5, it says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Right? Hear ye him. This voice was, it was said in such a manner that they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. So this voice of heaven, they wanted it to be clear that they should listen to Jesus and Jesus only. And so, again, we're talking about this one source, one voice, right? This one source, one voice, of course, is God and Jesus, right? We also get the same thing from Hebrews 1 and 2. "God, who is sundry times and in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." We also know from John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus himself said that he's the way. So again, the origin or source of authority is Jesus Christ or God. And I want to go through this slide here, and it kind of depicts how everything just starts with the same source. Okay? Now follow me there. We have God the Father. God the Father as a source, right? God. Everything that Jesus taught, John 12:49 tells us that. "I haven't spoken of himself, but the Father." So the source is God. It's still God, right? The Godhead is still the source. Nothing changed there. What about the apostles? Galatians 1:11-12. He says, "But by the revelation." See, the gospel is not of man. It doesn't come from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we see it's uninterrupted. It's still from the same source. Passed from God to Jesus. Jesus to the apostles. Well, after Jesus died, he ascended. What happened? The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:11-13 tells us about the Spirit. "What man knoweth save or except the Spirit which is in him?" So we know no man knoweth even the things in the mind of God except the Spirit of God. So it's still that same source. The Spirit of God knows the mind of God. And so anything that the Spirit says is from God, the same source. But what did the Spirit do? John 16:13. He led the apostles into all truth. We see that the Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth. So again, we're looking at that same source. Again, back to Simon Says, all this is from one source. We see this here as well. Well, what did the apostles do? The Bible. They wrote the Bible. John 20:31. These are written that we may believe on Jesus. So these things are written. But again, where's the source of this? Again, the same source. It's from the same source. That's why in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That term means God breathed. How can we say that the Bible is God breathed? Because it follows this uninterrupted link to the original source, which is God. So the Bible was written that we may believe. And from the Bible, what takes place? 2 Timothy 2:12. Timothy's told to commit this to faithful men. So the things that he's, you know, heard of many witnesses, commit to faithful men. So you commit it to faithful men. And what do they do with it? They commit to other men also. So that's how this thing is propagated. That's why we're here. We teach one another. We pass it on to everyone else. And so this is how this thing is propagated. That's how we understand that this is the word of God and how we can have confidence in that. So just like the game with Simon Says, there's only one source. And the word of God is that one source. And that's just the way this thing works. So it is similar in that manner. Okay? Another thing, another point that we want to look at, a similarity between this game of Simon Says and the way we look at the Bible authority is number one. Number two, all are eligible, but not everyone will win. All are eligible, but not everyone's going to win, right? We understand that. 2 Peter 3:9, as far as everyone being eligible, let's look at salvation. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So the Lord's not willing that any should perish. So everybody's eligible for heaven and salvation. Everybody's eligible. And it's the same thing in the game, right? Everybody's eligible. They're playing the game. Everybody's eligible to win, okay? But not everyone's going to win, and we understand that. Think about the great separation. Or Matthew 7:14, where it says, "Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads unto life, but few there be that find it." So we know everyone's not going to win. Matthew 5:25. Matthew 25, 32 and 33. And before him shall, it's the great separation, shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divided his sheep, shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So we understand that from the standpoint of the game, it's still simple. That same thing. Everyone that's in this game, they're eligible, but not everyone's going to win. And we understand that relation as well. What about a third relation, a third similarity between the game, Simon says, and the way Bible authority and salvation is related? Number three, I'd say that everyone has individual responsibility. So, I mean, if I'm saying hop on your right leg, and then and I say stop, but I don't say Simon says stop, and you stop, you're out, right? If you don't follow, then you're out. It's not like, well, I'm the older one, so my younger brother got to go out. No, you didn't do it, you out, right? Everyone has individual responsibility. The person in error is out. Romans 14, 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of who? Himself to God. I don't have to give account for my brother, my father, my mother. They don't have to give account for me. I have to give account of myself. We have an Old Testament scripture that kind of says the same thing. Ezekiel 18, 20, right? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So in the game of Simon Says, the soul that stopped, and I didn't say Simon Says stop, but you stopped anyway, just when I said stop without saying Simon Says, guess what? You're out, right? So the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So we understand, we're looking at individual responsibility. When it comes to heaven, there is no twofers, you know, two for one. There is no buy one, get one. Well, since I'm in, bring my twin brother in. I don't care. You might have the same genes, DNA. It may make a difference, right? You're a soul, he's a soul. You're accountable for yourself, he's accountable for himself. So there is no buy one, get one passes in the heaven, right? And because of this individual responsibility, it behooves us to make sure that we are following the right source. As stated earlier, part of this responsibility falls on the preacher as far as in the religious era, right? Part of it falls, you know, on the preacher. But if a preacher is not doing his part, there's still no excuse. Every participant must check and verify that they're in fact getting the right commands. You know, in today's religious climate, right, it's unlikely that a denominational preacher is going to accept, much less even encourage listeners to double-check his teachings, right? Even, you know, he's human and he has natural abilities. And, you know, just take what I say and don't even double-check it, right? But let's look at what we have in the Bible. It's the complete opposite of that we see in the New Testament. We see the actual apostles who had supernatural ability. Again, they were to talk things directly from the Spirit, as we read, right? Supernatural ability, and they were not only okay with being checked and so forth, but they actually encouraged it. You recall the Bereans in Acts 17:11. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, which is great. And then it says, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they actually told that they were more noble, okay, that because of the things that they did. So they're second checking the things are go. So, you know, same thing. One source, but make sure that you're listening and making sure that you're following the right source. And it's the same thing in the game of Simon Says. Another thing, as we look at similarities between game of Simon Says and Bible authority and salvation, is that silence is binding. It prohibits, not permits, it prohibits. Silence prohibits. If I was told to a group of kids, you know, raise your right hand and your right hand only, right? I say, Simon Says, raise your right hand. And then somebody decides that they're going to raise both of their hands. Then you'd be out, right? Because Simon said, raise your right hand. Okay, you can put them down. Simon said, raise your right hand. So to raise your left hand as well, I raised my right hand, but you raised your left one too. I didn't say anything about raising the left hand. You're out. Get out of here, right? You're out. And so we understand that. Silence is binding. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. In the name of means the authority. Do all by the authority of Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, have the authority to do it. You didn't have authority to raise that left hand. That's why you're out, young man, right? You understand that. We also read in Acts 15:24. For as much as ye have heard, as much as we have heard, that certain which went out from among us went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law. So there's some out there saying, hey, you've got to be circumcised and keep the law. But look at the end of this verse. It says, to whom we gave no such commandment. We didn't tell you to go out there and preach on circumcision and keeping the law. Why are you doing it? We were silent on that, and you're preaching on that and teaching on that. You're wrong, right? Silence is binding. All right, understand that. Silence prohibits, not permits. So the same thing, again, in the religious era that we see in Simon says, silence is not a green light to do whatever you want to, right? The Bible doesn't say I can't, grow weed in the back of my yard, a meth lab. I mean, they may not even have meth labs back then, but there are definitely some principles in there against such activities, right? The Bible doesn't say not to do it. That's just nonsense. Silence is binding. What about another similarity between the game of Simon Says and then Bible authority as it relates to salvation? I would say that participants must discern between which commands to listen to, right? He's giving out a whole bunch of commands. If it doesn't start with Simon Says, you've got to know how to be able to discern between what do I listen to? Do I raise my right hand? Do I hop on my right foot? Do I stop rapping when you need to discern between what commands to listen to and what not to. Now, if you require in today's spiritual world or religious world on what to do to be saved, you may very well hear from a pulpit like this one, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. That's scripture, right? But I imagine in the next hour or two at some, I'm not going to just point blame the Baptist, but I imagine at some places there's going to be someone says, the doors are open. Accept Jesus as your personal savior and be saved. And in 2 weeks, we'll baptize you as an outward sign of inward grace. Which commands are you going to listen to? Scripture or literature, right? Scripture from the word of God or literature from your preacher, your pastor, R.E.V., Dr. Reverend, or whatever. Think about it. What are we going to listen to? And then regarding the order between baptism and salvation, we talked about this morning. Mark 16:16 says belief, baptism, salvation. Belief and baptism first, then salvation. That's the order. We talked about another lesson some time ago about order does matter. That's the order. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Undoubtedly, there are some people that are going to get belief, salvation, and then baptism. Instead of going to Mark 16:16, they go to My Pastor 16:16 or whatever kind of verse you want to put there. There is no verse, not from the Bible. It's just, again, literature versus scripture. Listen to the source. What source are you listening to? Scripture or literature? Think about it. It's important. And it's important in the game, and it's definitely important in what we're talking about here today as far as Bible authority. Have authority for each and everything that you do. Now, let's take a look at some differences. Some differences between Simon Says, the game, and how things are biblical from a biblical authority and salvation standpoint. I would say that participation is voluntary. Now, let's understand what I'm saying here is that if I were to say, even in the crowd here, mostly everybody's over the kids' age, right? And I said, man, look, y'all, I have an urge. I want to play Simon Says. Come on, everybody, let's play Simon Says. I mean, is everybody going to participate? No. I mean, obviously, if you're over 40, you're probably not. If you're over 30, you're probably not. Probably 15 and under or something, we'll try to play the game. Just like the ones that raised their hands earlier, right? They're all about the game. So, you, if I wanted to play the game, you'd have a choice whether you want to participate. But once you participate in the game, then you are bound by the rules of the game. But you have a choice whether you participate. But that, in a sense, is different from the biblical standpoint, from participation is voluntary. Because whether you participate in this biblical authority, Bible authority, or Simon Says authority, with respect to Bible authority, you really don't have a choice, right? Let's look at Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we're all. It's not a game, but from the game standpoint, we're all in this game. You have no choice. We're all in this game. So with respect to, whether you want to live your life for God or, heaven or hell is everybody's destination. Everybody. One or the other. You don't have a choice. I imagine that if we had a choice, I imagine that if we were given a choice of annihilation or heaven or hell, annihilation just being after you die, that's just it. A lot of people may just choose annihilation and just eat, drink, and be merry and live the way they want to. But we don't have that choice. We don't have that choice. Call it luxury or whatever. We just don't have that choice. Everybody's in this game. And so participation is not voluntary. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What's another difference that we find between Simon Says game and the way things are really in the biblical world today? Another one is that Simon tries to trip you up, right? Simon tries to trip you up. Again, as I said, trying to get everybody out as fast as possible. So I'm going to have you hopping on one leg. And when you get tired, I'm going to say, okay, just stop. A lot of people are going to stop because they're tired. Well, I'm happy you told me to stop. But then when I tell you that I didn't say Simon Says, then you're out, right? So I want you to. I'm trying to trip you up. That's my job, right? Trying to trip you up. How's that different? Because God does not. God wants us all to win. God's not trying to trip you up, right? 2 Peter 3:9, we read that earlier. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all. God wants all. And so he's not trying to trip anybody up. 1 Timothy 2:4, he desires all men to be saved. Again, he is not trying to trip anybody up. 2 Peter 1:3, how do we know that? He wants us all to be saved. Hey, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us the tools, right? He's given them to us. And so let's think about it. If God was trying to trip us up and didn't want us to, he wouldn't provide us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. He wouldn't, you know, we follow the God to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the apostles and the providential overlook to make sure that the Bible was written and that we have it today. He wouldn't go through all that if he didn't want us to be able to make it to heaven, right? So that's the difference between Simon Says. God's not up there just trying to see how many people he can trip up. That is not the way he rolls, right? He does not go that way. So let's understand that about God. That's a big difference between Simon and God. Another difference between the game of Simon Says and then Bible authority and salvation is that you can get conflicting commands from the same source. You can get conflicting commands from the same source, right? Hop on your right leg. Don't hop on your right leg. I mean, you know, I'll say whatever I want to try to trip you up. Once again, conflicting commands from the same source. Brothers and sisters, that is just not going to happen with God. That is even not possible with God. We know it's not possible. It says in hope, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God can't lie. God can't say baptism is essential to salvation, and then in some other verse say baptism is not essential to salvation. That would make him a liar. Am I right? He does not lie. He cannot lie. Not that he doesn't choose to. He can't. He just simply can't, right? And so let's think about it. It's impossible for him to have conflicting commands to come from one source. Why? How else do we know that? He expects us all to, you know, keep it all. He follow all the commands. You can't follow all the commands if he's saying be baptized and turns around and say do not be baptized. It's impossible to command to follow them both. God expects us to follow all commands. So therefore, he's not going to give conflicting commands because he expects us to obey them all. James 2:10 tells us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So if you offend in one point, you're just as guilty of the whole law. So again, we're not going to get conflicting commands from God. Another reason why we won't, because just of the nature of God, God is a just God. And it'd be very, very unjust to say, be baptized. I command you to be baptized. I command you not to be baptized. Those that get baptized, listen to that verse, say, I told you not to be baptized. You're condemned. And the ones that listen to it where he said, don't get baptized. And he says, well, over here, I told you to get baptized. You're condemned. Come on. That's just nonsense. We serve a just God. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. How righteous of a judge is that to give conflicting commands and then punish you for following one of the conflicting commands? That will not happen with the God that we serve. He says, she'll give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them. There we go. All them that love his appearing. And that puts us into the next and final point we've got here. That in the game of Simon Says, there's only one winner. Only one winner. In the game of Simon Says. But that's another big difference between the game of Simon Says and this subject here of Simon Says authority as it relates to Bible authority and salvation. We know that there will be how many? I don't know, but there's room for many winners. And I use and stress that term many. John 14:2. Jesus said, in my Father's house are how many mansions? Many mansions. Right? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So there are many mansions. So there is room for many winners in this game of Bible authority that we're talking about. Many winners, not just one, but many winners, right? Another term with many. Acts 2:39. How many? I don't know. But Acts 2:39 says, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So as many. So as many are willing to submit to the will of God, there's room for you in heaven. We may have talked about that in another lesson too. You know, you're not going to have to worry about a no vacancy sign up at the pearly gates. So you imagine seeing the pearly gates. You're not going to worry about a no vacancy sign up there. Man, I thought it'd be enough room for me. I wish I had died sooner. You don't have to worry about that, right? So as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we understand that there are going to be many winners. Now, I will point out another term, many, there. And I just want to, because the term many is actually relevant, okay? It depends on the topic, the situation. It's a term. Because the same term, many, is used in the opposite sense in Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So while there's many winners, it's still in the relative context of things, only going to be a few. Because more people than not are going to follow that broad road that leads to destruction, because they don't just refuse to either, you know, submit to the will of God for a various number of reasons. Okay, and so I just wanted to put that term "many" in there in context. Although many just meaning more than one, but out of the full context of things, it's still only going to be a few. Are you going to be a part of the few? Are you a part of the few? When we say the few, we're talking about the saved. Are you a part of the few that are going to be saved and be able to experience salvation with God? How do you become a part of the saved, right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In a nutshell, that's what it says, right? You've got to believe. How do you believe? You believe from the word of God, right? That's how you get that faith, or that belief in Christ. Faith cometh by hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then you must believe it. That's what we just saw in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You must repent. Have that change. Have that change of heart, change of mind. Literally head change. Have that change of mind towards sin and its effects. And have that repented heart change your actions. Put you in a position where you're willing to confess Christ, that Christ is the Son of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch did. So be willing to confess Christ. We're told to do that. Romans 10:9-10 as well. And lastly, baptism. Baptism is where you go from a state of unsaved to the state of saved. You can follow that even in Acts 2. Verse 41 is when they believed and they were baptized. Verse 47 tells us they were saved. So they were told to repent and be baptized. Verse 38, verse 41, those that were believed were baptized, and the word saved doesn't pop up to verse 47. So it is in that order, just in agreement with Mark 16:16 as well. So that's how you become a part of the saved. Hear the word of God. Believe the word of God. Repent. Confess Christ as the Savior, as your Savior, and as the Son of God that's, you know, sent on the earth to die for your sins, and be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, which is where you contact the blood. You contact the blood because it is in fact the blood that washes away all sins. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission, and we understand that. If you are already a member of the body of Christ, and you've fallen away. We talked about that this morning a little bit in Bible class. It's possible to fall away. Once saved, always saved. There's another thing. Follow the source. Scripture or literature. Scripture says you can fall away. There's some REV, Dr. REV, this morning is probably telling somebody, once you're saved, you're always saved. It's nonsense. You don't have to go beyond Simon the Sorcerer to prove that as a fallacy, right? But if you're a member of the body of Christ and you've fallen away, then you have a broken relationship with God. You know, I read in my notes some time ago where, you know, the alien sinner and the fallen away Christian, they came over on a different ship, but they're in the same boat now. And that is having a broken relationship with God that needs to be repaired. But if you're came over on this ship as a fallen away, child of God, then you just need to ask for forgiveness. And he's just faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So if you are subject to the invitation in any way, we do ask and request and require and urge and plead and beg with you that you respond to the gospel call right now as we stand together and sing the song of invitation 197.